everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, where we talk about Android apps and addicted people. No, that doesn't sound right. My name is Mark. I'm glad to be back with you this week. But the people you're really here to hear from are the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and the executive, Mr. Eric Ardini. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Here to here, here to there. I'm good, man. Christmas season is in effect. I've spent way too much money, I think, and eaten way too many sweets.
Well, that, man. Here, there, and everywhere. Now, they could be seeing and enjoying it if they join the Patreon. What is that? That's a kid. Hello, Dan.
You have an interloper.
Should you be in bed by now? What?
She wanted me to give you a kiss.
Mom wanted you to give me a kiss? Okay. Do you want to tell everybody really quick how you're doing in school?
Very good.
That's...
Very good. Yeah, superstar. Give me a hug. Your hair smells good for a change. Now I need you to go to bed. Okay? Okay. I love you, buddy.
You don't want to redo that intro, or you're just going to roll with that?
No, let's just roll with it. That's fine. His hair does smell good, though.
It looks like it smells good.
People could be listening to us, but they also could be watching us and actually enjoying it if they're Patreon subscribers, because I am now near instantaneously uploading the highest quality video I can possibly get, with no fluff in the beginning or the end. It's just the content. And I honestly think I'm doing a good job for someone whose profession is not content creation.
Yeah, it would be great, and I'm sure they'll get it eventually. If you could live stream straight to Patreon, that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're on the subject, I want to correct a misstatement. Not a single misstatement, but a series of wrongnesses on my part. I have been imploring this audience and my own audience over at Everyday Linux to sign up on Patreon for as little as a penny, saying it's not about the money, it's about the people. Only to find out that recently Patreon changed the rules so that you can't sign up for a penny. You can only do a dollar. Sorry about that. My information was dated. You used to be able to, but they revamped some of the rules. And one of those rules is a minimum pledge is now a dollar. So everything I said about signing up for a penny, just make that 100 times bigger. Sign up for a dollar.
Well, but on the grand scale of things, quite literally anybody out there, if you struggle every month to eke out, to squeeze out a dollar, you're doing something wrong. Contact me. I'll do everything in my power to help you earn more money, because nobody should have a problem finding at least $1 every month.
That's a good point. So,
and Mark, I was going to say, not to change the subject, to be on the very same path. They do now have a Patreon Android app.
Yes.
And it will notify you if you are a Patreon subscriber to Android App Addicts of the second new content gets posted to our Patreon. So that's one way to keep on top of things and get instant access to some of our content when we make it available to premium members.
Excellent. All right. Now, can we talk about Star Wars?
No. Wow. Already? You're good.
Well, I flew back from London on the Concorde, watched it, and came back. I just wanted to say something about the whole culture of the anti-spoiler culture.
Okay. You haven't seen it, correct? No.
But I've been seeing things all over the interwebs about, you know, if you spoil this movie, I will, you know, kill you to three generations, and that sort of thing. And I just want to say, spoilers only spoil bad movies. All right. When I was 8 years old and Empire came back out, my friends got to see it before me, and I was inquisiting them. I was like an interrogator under a hot lamp, saying, "Tell me everything about it." All the spoilers, all the big reveals. I knew that going in, and I still loved every second of the movie. If it's a good movie, it won't matter. So get off your high horse about spoilers, people. Spoilers only spoil bad movies.
Number one, yes. I have to agree, because, like, to me, the best example, freshest in my head, was that movie with Bruce Willis, I See Dead People.
Sixth Sense.
First time I saw that was almost a year after it was out, so I knew everything about it before watching it, and it was still fantastic, because even if you know it, you still live and breathe through his character, and you don't want to see it. You know, you don't. Because you see what he's...
So there's that scene in Empire where they're in Cloud City and Lando is leading them I think they're going to go have dinner, right? And they open the door and the door slides back and Vader is sitting at the end of the table. 20 plus years later, every time I see that, I get a little catch in my throat because it's that powerful. Mm. Why? Not because I didn't know it was coming, but because it's a well-constructed scene.
Just like every time I see Hulk Hogan picking up Andre the Giant for the slam, I get
right. All right.
And I'll say this, after the show, if it, I already have everything, every possibility for this movie, I've already ran through my head. And there is one part that if it does happen the way I think it's going to happen, I am going to be a grown man crying in a science fiction movie. And I am calling it right now that I will cry during this.
I will be seeing it at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. I promise not to spoil it for you when I come back next week.
Oh, you...
Because I'm not seeing
it. You've got your ticket already purchased, yes, huh?
Absolutely. And because I know what bedlam this is going to be, I made sure to purchase reserved seats so I don't have to stand in line 4 hours early with the guy swinging the plastic lightsabers.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how that plays here in the small community with the... Because I'm only going to see it at the Brew View, so that's...
Well, it's even worse because, you know, rednecks have literally nothing else to do. So yeah, I would think that would make it worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I see the Brew Review's screen isn't huge, though. That's the bad part. But then our regular theater screens aren't much larger. I almost want to go out of town, but then I wouldn't be able to get a seat if I go out of town to find an IMAX or something huge. I don't know. What a dilemma. First world problems.
I don't know. I just love the fact that you call it a Brew and View because I've never heard it called that, and it's just a fantastic
That's what they call it. Yep. You can buy pizza, hamburgers, and beer, and watch a movie.
There's this place in Dallas. I'm pretty sure it's still there, Dallas, Texas. It's called the Granada, and they just took an old theater, you know, the old sloped things, not stadium seat, the old sloped ones. They just ripped out the chairs and put in tables and chairs. So like half of them are angled. And so they serve you like dollar pitchers and, you know, cheap, pizza, and they don't even show like the latest and greatest. It's like the, you know, the dollar movie kind of thing. And you go to the movie's just sort of on in the background while people are getting drunk. It's just an entirely different experience than, you know, one of the big IMAX things.
Yeah. This was a renovated, really super old one, and it's got the lights on the marquee and everything still. And it says the, you know, the name of the town on it and lights going up like four stories for no reason. There's no real building back there, but yeah, it's attention. It's nostalgic.
All right. So anything else before we actually get into the apps? The thing that we promised that we're going to deliver on the show.
Yes. Whoever is responsible for the new Chipmunks movie, somebody hates you because they're releasing you on the same day.
Yeah, what's up with that? My daughter commented on that. She's like, I wonder which theater will be empty and which one will be full.
Yeah, that had to be some sort of, you know, contractual mistake. You know, that's the last date they could do it, because what a terrible idea to release.
No.
Not, you know, up against that.
No, it's genius, because there's going to be so much spillover from the full Star Wars theater, and the kids are already out there. Well, you said we're going to see a movie, Mom. All right, let's go watch this one then.
Now, I think if you're going to release a movie up against a big blockbuster like that, it needs to be something completely different, like some foreign arts film, something that the people who see Star Wars aren't going to go see. But you're looking at kid audiences on both of those movies, and that's just a crushing blow.
Oh, and the only spoiler I'll give, Steve Gibson said he has confirmation there are whatever the hell Jar Jar Binks is types of creatures Gungans. In this movie. Gungans. There are Gungans in this new movie. Oh, so
wow. I actually feel a little dirty that I know that.
You should.
One little thing. Tom Merritt is doing a series, or has done a series, called Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars. You could Google that and find it. Mm. And it's hilarious. He reviews the movies as if he's never seen them. and so it's funny, like when the prequels came out, we knew it was entrenched in our culture, right? We knew so much, so that when they were making the movies, they made assumptions. But if you're literally starting with episode one, those assumptions don't bear out. So, oh. You know, he's reviewing it and saying, there's these robe guys who are pulling out these laser swords and they're kicking butt. I think they're the bad guys. No, wait, here's some other robe guys, and one of them has horns, so maybe he's a bad robe guy, and these other guys are good robe guys. And it's just really funny to hear that, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Intellectual exercise to see if you can pretend to not know everything that you know. So I encourage you to check that out. Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars.
That sounds like fun. I like Tom Merritt a lot. I always enjoyed listening to his podcasts and things he's produced.
I think he's a better Leo than Leo, frankly.
I do too. And he's from Illinois too, I think, or from somewhere in the Midwest.
I think by way of Texas. He spent some time in Austin. Anyway. So let's talk about some apps. Let's talk about apps, baby. Sorry, I just really shouldn't have done that.
I don't think you took it far enough.
Yeah, I stopped myself. Door, take it away before I sing again.
Oh, well, it's not going to get any better because this app's name is Apocalypse Meow.
Nice.
Okay, Apocalypse Meow. But here's the kicker. If you actually play the game, there's no real cats in it. This is a portrait view, top-down space shooter with... It's the kind of space shooter with literally like hundreds upon hundreds of bullets on the screen at any point in time. Really beautiful, really beautiful. They're just taking advantage of the cat because, you know, it's hard to lose with cats on the internet.
It kind of reminds me of Zaxxon.
I'll go for that. Yeah. Whole lot of bullets, whole lot of shooting. The graphics, though, there are spots where the graphics are gorgeous, like really good looking. But for the most part, they're just non-spectacular. They're just good graphics. You know, they're okay. They're good. But then there's little spots that come out where it just looks really, really good.
Yeah, it looks like fun. No video on this one, oddly.
There's video on this one. Refresh your page.
Oh, there's video?
Yeah. I'm showing the video right now on the Patreon video.
My bad.
I wouldn't lie to you.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure you would.
Not about this, though.
Yeah, I would. But it is called Apocalypse Meow by Splint Cell. E for everyone, in-app purchases, free, 2,100 reviews, 4 out of 5 stars. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful looking game.
I love the smell of catnip in the morning. All right, Mr. Executive, what have you got for us?
All right, I'm going to bring the seasonally correct app from the doctor, Christmas in HD Gyro 3D. This is this year's newest version, and... Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. This is last year's version. But I combined this. I got to say thank you to somebody on Google Plus who did this. He pimped Alexander Kettler's Christmas in HD 3D live wallpaper app, which puts a perfect background for gets you in the seasonal mood. And then combine that with Bauble's Christmas icon theme, which I'll also put in here. And it basically, that will turn all of your icons all over your phone into Christmas bulbs with the icon on it. And so my phone is ready for the next 9 days or so.
Gotcha. Mark, I don't know if you, are you aware of the doctor?
I am not.
Okay, and I don't mean Doctor Who. This guy is the doctor. People call him the doctor. Alexander Kittler? He's a Denmark, I believe, maybe Belgium developer. We had him on the show. Unbelievably nice guy. He took exceptional pride in the fact that he knew for a fact he was the only one mathematically doing parallax in the correct way. Because he said there's two ways to do parallax. There's the easy way, which is you put the back as a static image, and then you put things before it, and you shift that around. He said that's the kiddie way to do it. That's the easy way to do it. What he's able to do, he said, is put the static part as a part in the middle near the back. So you have true parallax. You have things behind it moving one direction, thing in front of it moving the other direction. So he said he is the only person on the Play Store doing parallax, quote unquote, correct. And with a name like the doctor, I can't question him. He's the doctor.
And I guess HD camera now, I can kind of show you what that effect is. You see that or not?
Yeah, I can see it. It works.
Yeah, and he said he literally uses the Z-axis by like millimeter by millimeter to change how the parallax is working, so you get a very accurate three-dimensional parallax where most people, you get what is essentially a two-dimensional parallax.
It's impressive.
Yeah, this guy makes amazing-looking desktop wallpapers that are interactive, that are parallax, but to be honest, they don't use as much battery up as I would expect them to. Usually when to me, I picture the better something looks and the better it acts and reacts, the more battery it's going to use. And this used only a fair amount of battery.
Yeah, I'm not noticing it. Not with this app anyway. There's a lot of other things going on right now with my phone that I've been using that's really sucking the battery down.
Right. Oh, man, this icon set, Eric, I just looked at it. How do you pronounce
Baubles?
This?
Baubles.
Baubles. This is, in no uncertain terms, one of the most annoying icon themes I think I've ever seen in my life. Because A, over a third of your icon space is lost because it's just a solid curve. It's a circle. So there's so much of your space that's not being used. But they're Christmas.
Yeah, so when your background's a Christmas tree,
it just makes sense.
It makes sense, yes.
Okay, if you could break the Christmas balls and it would make the glass sounding, I might be okay with it.
Actually, that would be pretty cool. Every time you launch an app, it makes a breaking sound.
And you have,
but of course,
and then you have to use the Clean Sweep app to pick up all the bits off the back of your desktop.
Nice. Yeah.
So just a quick anecdote. The day after, a couple days after Christmas, somewhere around, after Thanksgiving, somewhere around there, we pulled out all the Christmas ornaments. Door, I'm not kidding you. Not one light in my house worked. Not one. What? Not one Christmas light. Oh, wow. They all worked last year. I put them in the attic. They came out of the attic. Not one of them worked. It was the most bizarre thing. We have this pre-lit Christmas tree. The whole point of that was we paid extra so that we'd never have to mess with lights again. And then we spent 4 hours wrapping new lights around the pre-lit Christmas tree.
Are the old dead ones still there then?
Yes, absolutely. We left them there.
Did you go with LED this year?
No, because... Oh.
So you like this thing that you did this year, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I like doing it over and over and over again. It was the most bizarre thing. I really felt like Clark Griswold, 81,000 imported twinkling Italian lights.
All right. Well, I can tell you this year I had the exact opposite experience. Last year, me and my wife, literally like 3 days after Christmas, we were someplace shopping and we saw you could buy lights. And they were unbelievably marked down. Like normally, a couple bucks, they were like 30 cents a box. So me and the wife literally bought like 5 boxes of lights, came home, threw every light we had away because we knew they were old. You know, we had a little bit of trouble getting them all working kind of thing. So this year we literally just put the tree up, opened up fresh. It was like that fresh car smell, open up that box. It was just the most painless time I've ever had with Christmas lights.
I bought LED ones last year, and we got those out this year. And then I found the metal round tin, like, I don't know, like a, that used to, some kind of a metal round container that used to hold ball bearings at one point. And it's full of the old lights that I totally forgot I even had. So I don't know what we're going to do with those. Okay, I don't know, something.
Well, you got to be careful with LEDs now. Now, you know about this, Mark, right?
What is it?
I'm going to need both a verb and a subject.
Okay, the LED lights. Turns out almost 80%, some high percentage like that I heard, of LED lights sold today interfere with your Wi-Fi and can slow down your home Wi-Fi.
You know, so do walls. Get over it. Everything interferes with Wi-Fi.
But next year when you go buy Christmas lights, you're going to see a little thing saying Wi-Fi friendly and they're going to cost more money. So I don't know if that's even true that LED lights are doing this, but it's a good excuse to charge more money.
I bought mine last year when they weren't doing that, so I think we're okay. I didn't buy them this year.
I don't know.
All right, app now, email, and this email is just chock full of apps, and this is from DRiv. And he sends us a message, says, hello guys, love your show. Just wanted to share some of my favorite games, which are, and here we go, in rapid fire, Sortigo, Gravity, and PewDiePie. Check them out. They're really fun. There's a game called Experiment Z, which I tried and think it has some serious potential. It's free to play with some very generous in-app purchases at an extremely fair price. Also, check out Trinus VR, but I haven't tried it out myself. Keep up the great work. So, bang, bang, bang.
PewDiePie looks like a great app. I think it was like 10 bucks, though, if I remember right, or 5 bucks. I don't know. It was a lot of money, but PewDiePie looks like an app you would love, though. It's like an 8-bit kind of... really good game, but done in 8-bit or 16-bit.
What was this guy's name again?
DRiv, R-I-V. I'm looking for the old email.
PewDiePie Legend of the Bro Fist, Part 1, is the full name of the app.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to find it.
Or not Part 1. Right, but
November 23rd. It's an old one.
Did he gave links for all those too, didn't he?
No, of course not.
Well, I'll make sure that they're in the notes after the fact.
Here's this one, Dor. I put this one in the chat for you, though. I thought you might want to take a look at it. It is, $5, $4.99.
Yeah, $4.99. Yeah, I believe we might have brought this before because I kept thinking this was the character's, the guy's name it on is. YouTube.
It is.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know if I want to publicize it. No, in fact, I don't. This one, it's not going to be in the notes.
It looks like, dude, if it was any other name, you'd love this game. No?
No, no.
I'm mistaken your like of games. I thought this would be just like stuff you like.
Doesn't look old enough.
All right, moving on, Dor. What's your next app?
The next app I'm going to bring, it comes with a caveat and a little bit of a story, I guess I want to say. I have YouTube Red, so now I'm spoiled, okay? At any time when watching a YouTube video, I can just click a little button and I can instantaneously download everything with zero issues, zero work, zero effort, and it just works. But if you don't have YouTube Red, you don't have that option available to you. But now you actually can. I do believe you need root. I will say that. You have to get QPython, Python for Android, and then you can basically get what's called YouTube DL. YouTube DL is a application on Linux that you can get even a GUI for, to where you can just put in YouTube URLs and download videos seamlessly with no issues, download the audio from it, download entire playlist, download entire video series. If you just like point it at youtube.com/DorDorGeek, you'll download every video I've ever put up.
I wonder what would happen if you just pointed it at youtube.com/.
Yeah, if I pointed at youtube.com/DorDorGeek, it will download every video I've ever done.
No, Mark.
Just saying slash. Yeah. I want to download all of YouTube, please.
Just in case the internet goes bad.
Well, considering they now, I believe it was upload 48 hours worth of content every minute. That's a hard task, Mark.
But I've got Amazon
that's
Unlimited.
What makes it worth doing.
Yeah. So yeah, if you get QPython, Python for Android, you can then download a script, YouTube DL, and easily download YouTube videos. This is the underlying hidden feature slash power of Android, is it is Linux. And with Linux in the backbone, the Linux kernel running, you can load Python on top of it. And once you have Python, I will say the world is your oyster, because you can run nearly anything in Python, because Python has rich libraries, easy to code for, yada, yada, yakety, schmackety kind of thing. It's fun. Or you could pay money and just get YouTube Red.
Right? Yeah, well, are those the same thing, though, Dor? I mean, can Python, is there a script in Python that can block all my ads from showing when I watch YouTube videos? Anything like that?
No, but you can download them and there's no ads when you download them.
You know, and
I will say, Mark, really quick, I know you're not a fan of the YouTube Red. I know not most of my family is either. So I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to be the guy. You can now get a YouTube, or now you're going to be able to soon get a YouTube family account, or it's actually a Google Music family account. So where you can add six Gmail accounts basically to it. So you can have a total of six accounts, $15 a month, Google Music and YouTube Red membership, $15 a month, six accounts. So I'm going to pay the money and I'm going to get some of my family members on it just so they know how it is to have like unlimited music with no anything, just work. Because I literally the other day, I just said for giggles, okay, Google. Okay.
Be careful what you say.
Everybody listening to the podcast right now.
Yeah, sorry. I said, Google Play Music Weird Al Yankovic, and it played over 3.5 hours of nothing but Weird Al, and it was playing songs I never heard of. But I love the fact that the very first song it played was Dare to Be Stupid. That told me that somebody in Google said, okay, now if somebody says to play Weird Al Yankovic, we got to put this clause in the code. The first song that has to be played is Dare to Be Stupid. So, you know.
As much as my kids are on YouTube on their small devices constantly, I wonder how much time they would save by not watching those ads.
No, see, my kids, okay, we were driving home tonight from the winter concert thing. And my oldest son had a white shirt buttoned up with a tie. And on his elbow, he had a little bit of, I don't know, stain. My youngest son, 7 years old, turned and said, you know, dude, you need yourself some OxyClean with the Color Safe Splash Bleach Guard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I turned to my wife. I don't want him to see more ads. The marketers love him. love him because he repeats everything he hears on a on an ad, always, constantly. So I don't care. I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it. I got to do it for my kids. They have to have less ads. They already believe everything. I told you about my oldest son saying he needed some Z-Quil, yeah, right? Yes. Yeah. And I had people ask me if I'd give my kids drugs.
Well, I will say in tangentially related to this, in my experiment to run for the first time as an Android user to run Unrooted, ads are far more annoying to me than they've ever been before. And I'm seeing more of them because, you know, I used to block all of those because I was rooted. And now my YouTube experience is pretty much ruined. So I either have to go back and root or pay for YouTube Red. But $10 a month, $10 a year I would do. No, I wouldn't even think about it. $10 a month, that's a lot.
It is a
for
lot.
A light YouTube user like myself.
And I'm not a huge YouTube user, but I know my kids are. It's always a Family Guy playing somewhere in the house at any point during the day.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that six people family plan, $15 a month, is enough to push enough people over the edge for them to keep doing this.
You think it's going to go away if they don't get enough subscribers then? Is that your fear?
Yes, that's Google. Google believes in failing fast.
Yeah.
They obsessively?
Obsessively.
Thank you. Believe in failing fast. So if they don't get enough numbers quick enough, they'll just go away.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, Mr. Executive, what is your next app?
I'm going to bring an app. Actually, I heard about this on This Week in Google, another podcast, but this is called Cardboard Camera. Great app. Okay. Especially when you get new hardware like this thing that just came in the mail. Wish it was an Oculus Rift. I wish it was a Samsung Gear VR, but this one I paid $25 for on AMZ Review Trader, so I don't get a whole lot of that stuff. But I, the ViewMaster, I was all hard on. I didn't like at all, and I was mean about the way I presented it. I'm going to be the same way on this one. But there's good points about this device compared to the ViewMaster. The ViewMaster was heavy by kind of on purpose so the kids wouldn't hang on to it too long. But the lenses were kind of focused for a child. Now this one actually has dials on the sides that you can adjust how far your phone goes away from your face. And then, okay,
well, who is the maker of that device, Eric? Do you know?
I've got the box here, but I still don't think that's going to be an obvious thing. Yeah, there's no. I will give the link, but you may not want the link after my review here. So, and it also has another knob on the top, which adjusts your eyes for the width of your eyes apart. You can move them this way and this way. So it almost feels like when you're adjusting it, getting it dialed in, it's almost like you're at an optometrist and getting your eyes checked. As
number one or number two? Yeah. They're exactly the same!
Again, number one.
This is definitely not the Gear VR, and it's definitely not the Oculus Rift, even though it looks similar to both of those. I have done some hacking with my phone and some stuff to try to get the Gear VR and Oculus software to run on this, which I have had mixed results. I'm still working on it, though. I just started that today. I'm getting close. I actually have the Oculus things transferred into APKs so they can run, but this thing doesn't have a button of any sort to work with Google Cardboard. There's no magnet slider on the side. There's no way of a button. And another thing with Google Cardboard is if you don't have the actual Google Cardboard, you usually have a QR code you can scan to let Google Cardboard know, okay, this is the setup I got. This is what I'll be using for a button. There's no QR code to be found. There's no app that comes with this to help it along. I have used it with a Bluetooth with my Amazon Bluetooth gamepad, and it works on a couple games, but a lot of them you just get stuck because you can't say okay. And it came with an NFC tag with no explanation on what that's supposed to do or what to do, how to use it.
Well, okay, maybe the NFC tag is to tell your phone which cardboard it is instead of having
the I took the NFC tag. I didn't know where I would do that. I just kind of tapped it all over the place, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with this tag.
You get to use it on your phone. Your phone has to have NFC.
I had NFC turned on my phone, and nothing. Happened. I was like, no.
Maybe you got a bum one.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I went in to like tap and play, made sure everything was turned on and stuff. the straps on this aren't really adjustable, but they work. They don't. It doesn't feel like. Well, I guess they could be kind of adjustable now that I look at it closer. But it holds on your head fine. It would be a really nice cardboard device if it just had the switch or a button on it. Because I like that you don't have to hold it with your hands, and it's comfortable actually. It's got a lot of foam on it. You're not smashing your face up against the lenses or your nose or anything either. So I just got it yesterday. I've only tried it just a short time, but my initial review is kind of sour. But I'm hoping I can hack my way through it to make it a very useful device.
What you need there is a smartwatch app where you can tap your watch and tell it, "All right, I'm ready to go."
I just found it. Honestly, there is one. That works with Gear VR, I believe. But I'm going to try looking into there too. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. So how does this camera?
Oh yeah, the app.
Cardboard camera.
App. Oh my gosh, this thing is great. So basically, you just hold your phone up, and you just go like this in a circle, and it'll tell you to slow down if you're going too fast. It doesn't have like in the panorama, it kind of would like overlay itself, so you knew that you have to stay on track. This one doesn't have that part, so you have to make sure that you don't stray too far up or down, or it's not going to line it up at the end. You go in a circle. I did a picture of my, I think I emailed the picture that I took to both of you guys earlier. And I took a picture of my living room with the little Christmas tree and stuff. And then, and it also would record sound too. If you're in a place that you want to record the sound. But you put it in the headset and this headset works perfect for like viewing these pictures and things. But it works great. It takes quite a while to do the processing on it though. I was a little surprised by that, but, I think this could really be the future of how pictures are taken. And the house next door that I'm going to be tearing down, I'm going to go through the rooms and just get these 3D or 360 degree pictures of what it is now, just to remember it by. And in the backyard and stuff with the house being there still. And I like it.
So I think the future, obviously this is infant technology. I think the future of that is when they get the speed down, or like this, the GoPro 360 thing, when they get those things, that will be the standard way that, like news people, do things. If you're covering a riot in Baltimore, you just stick one of those things down and literally have a 360. Lots of news stations use the phrase 360 degree coverage. You could literally have that. And, the fact that you can do it right now with just a consumer grade phone, bodes to the fact that just in a few years, this will be, like your eyeglasses will have it, everything. It'll just be commonplace. And, we'll all be, virtual avatars for the people around us. I'm not sure I like that idea, but I'm not sure I dislike it either.
I say, with the cardboard so cheap, if you've got, O... in our chat room is talking about how a realtor could use this and it would, That makes perfect sense. You send them the cardboard and say, "Hey, download this app. Here's a link to the picture. Throw your camera, throw your phone into this thing."
If you're a real estate agent, no. You say to the customer, "Here," and you put it on your head. Well,
no, you could if they're in town. But if they're in town, they can actually see the place themselves without having to get the picture sent to them. No.
If you want to trust somebody who's never used this thing before, just download this thing and just do this thing and just do this thing. They will never figure it out.
That's true.
No, you come into the office, you sit in the office, tell me what you like. Oh, well, tell me what you think of this and give it to them and let them look at it.
But then later, when we can just paint LCDs, LCD pixels onto our walls, and we can sit in the middle of this room and look at all these old pictures we took back in the, the early 2000s, back when, Google Camera just first came out, V1.
And then we won't be able to say, "The camera adds 10 pounds. We'll all have to admit how fat and pasty we really are.
No, the person taking the picture's never in it, though.
There's that. All right. Moving on to an email. You actually already stole two of these, but Julian Overall sent us some Christmas apps. He says, "Hi, Mark, Dor, and Eric. I've got two picks for customization addicts for this Christmas. First off is the Doctor's 3D Christmas wallpaper with a detail of a tree and decorations. Then just to top it off, an icon pack of a bauble theme. All the icons seem to render okay with it. Just in case you don't know, Nova Launcher Prime is discounted for the holiday season. I just bought it for 99 cents. It's really awesome, obviously. Merry Christmas to you all, Julian. And he also has links to the things that we already linked there, but also Nova Launcher Prime. So
thank you, Julian. Yeah, and I thought it was a Google Plus post that I read all that from. It was the email. Thank you for the email, Julian. And yeah, Nova Launcher Prime, that's for 99 cents. That's a great price. I don't know what I paid
for. When I click it now, it says $4.99, so that must be over.
I think I paid $4.99 for it. It's worth every penny. If you do like to do icon packs or any good customer, it's one of the best launchers out there for doing customization to your phone, I think.
Yeah, if you're a fan of iPhone, it's a great launcher. I'll say that because there's nothing special or good about this launcher. The difference is when you install it, it assumes a lot of things. So the time from install to fully running is less. It's less work because they take a lot of assumptions with it. I couldn't find anything in this launcher that I couldn't do better with more customizations in different launchers.
I thought I had just tons of customizations for me.
Nah, stuff like Lightning Launcher makes this look like OS X.
You think
desktop.
So? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Seems like I could do a lot. I guess there's a lot of stuff. I don't do a ton. I really like to have my icons on a much different grid than what. That's my main thing for a good launcher is to customize the grid size, take away the, change the words, just things like that, just to make things fit, so I don't have to scroll through 18 pages to get to what I want.
I guess I'm the old man, the get off my lawn guy in the group. I like just the stock Google Now launcher. I'm fine with it. It has everything I need.
If its app drawer wasn't so spaced out, I'd like it too. That's my only.
So I mean, you have a problem with scrolling?
Yeah.
The effort it takes to slide your thumb up a screen a millimeter.
I don't like searching for stuff that long. I just like bam. If I can get all my apps and I've got a lot of them on two screens, then I'm super happy.
All right, quick tip using the Google Now launcher: If you press and hold the circle with the dots to go to the app drawer, it automatically jumps you to the search apps and brings up the keyboard. So you can press and hold and then type the first letter of what you want. So pro tip.
And you can just say, okay, Yahoo, catchphrase, launch YouTube or launch whatever, and it runs.
Open Audible app. I say that at least once a day.
I wish Google Launcher had some customization, though. There's just nothing there.
Well, it can only if you get what you showed me, Eric, exposed module and exposed gel settings when it's working. Because it goes through sometimes 3+ months where it ain't working. Like right now,
my old phone, I had gel and all that, and I loved Google Launcher when I could do that stuff with it. But I don't think I've had that since I've had this phone, though.
Right? Are you gelling?
I'm not. I don't have any considerable redness or swelling either.
I just got Marshmallow this week on the Moto X Pure.
Ooh, nice.
And it was kind of nice. I was one of the beta testers of it on my Nexus 5, and now I've got it back. I will say just the one real trick of the Moto X is the Moto Assistant, where, from any lock screen or whatever, you can say, your custom lock phrase for years. It started as a joke. I don't remember what it was, but the female voice on my GPS had to have a name. So my old Garmin GPS, her name was Julia. That wasn't the first one. I'm blanking on it. Evelyn. Yeah, the very first one was Evelyn, and Evelyn would tell me how to get places. And then later when I got a BlackBerry and it had GPS built in, her name was Julia. And so on Android, it's always been Andrea, Andrea the Android, because I like alliteration. So I can say whatever I want. And so on my Moto X, instead of saying, okay, Google, and wait in frustration while everybody's phones and watches or whatever do that, I say, Andrea, listen to me, and it does its thing. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, like I said, that's really its one trick. And also it does a lot of the things that one of my favorite apps, Agent, does, in that it recognizes your calendar and will silence your phone and just some cool stuff like that. It recognizes when you're driving. So with the Marshmallow update, they took all the cool stuff out. So it still does the voice recognition thing, but that's about it. So the meeting thing, they said, well, now just use the do not disturb function. So when you Marshmallow has do not disturb built in, so you can say when I have a calendar event, automatically go to do not disturb. But it's not granular. It's you choose all calendars or not, right? So like, for example, on my main Gmail account, I've got probably 10 different calendars of my family and mine and, you know, different accounts. This one, I can just pick the two accounts that are actually logged into the phone, and that's it. And then I can say the only options with the old one, I could say if I'm busy, go into do not disturb mode, otherwise don't. This one, it's only events I have answered yes, I'm going to. Well, I almost never answer yes to my own events, you know, things like that. Or they neutered it completely. And then the drive one, they left it pretty much the same. But the meeting one, that was really the cool feature. So I had to go back to Agent. I had to pay $4.99 to go back to Agent. It used to be free, but then now it's a paid app. And because it's a new phone, I had to pay for it. But anyway, it was just one of those things where they improved it by making it suck more and making it do less. So, you know, I don't get it, Motorola. Well, this was the run. This was the one reason that people were buying your phone, and you know, the one trick that your pony could do, and then you've neutered that trick. So that's the Marshmallow is fine. I like Marshmallow, but Moto just apparently wasn't ready for it. So I thought I'd throw that out there.
I'm psyched to get Marshmallow on my Note 4 because it actually adds functionality to this one. Plus, it strips away a lot of the TouchWiz crap that I hate. But one of the things it'll do is when your phone is in sleep mode, you can use your stylus and write notes on it without it waking up the phone at all. It'll just write right onto the black screen. It'll be like light gray, and you can save it from there. Just to take a quick note or anything without having to open up an actual app or anything to take a note.
That's cool, I guess.
Yeah, I gotta say that sucks, Mark. I really hope they fix it. I really hope people complain enough and then they come back and they fix those Moto apps. I will say the driving app was the one that I knew. It seems like I know truck drivers and people that drive a fair amount, and I tell them how the driving one works.
Yeah, it is.
And that's how I see
it. It is still better than Agent's driving app. I use it over the Agent driving one. So that is still solid. But it was really the meeting one and the do not disturb, the sleeping one, that it's just gone. They just took it out altogether. The meeting one, they neutered.
Have you sent off an email or anything to anybody?
No. I mean, what am I supposed to tell them?
Yeah. Feedback at Motorola.com.
I'm on a podcast listened to by billions of people.
Yeah. Do you know who I am?
Yeah. Well, here's a stupid question, Mark. Have you looked at all at the app permissions stuff? Because that was one of the selling features in Marshmallow that made me think like, I kind of would like to have Marshmallow on a device.
Well, you don't have to look at it. Every time you open an app, every time the app tries to do something new, it asks you if it's okay to do that new thing. So that's pretty cool. So when you download an app, there's no longer this big, long list of this app needs these permissions. It's still there, but you don't have to agree to it. But every time the app asks for permission to do something it's never done before, or rather, every time the app starts to do something it's never done before, you get a permission dialogue, and you say yes or no, which I think is really cool. That's how it should be. So including, you know, if you download a flashlight app, the first time it tries to access the network to download an ad, it says, do you want this app to have access to data, yes or no? So I think that's great.
Mm. Well, but do you think, dare I say, like an Apple-esque kind of experience, do you think they would ever cave and put in the feature to either globally whitelist or blacklist? Like, I don't care, don't ask me this question, give everything access. Or the inverse, I don't care, I'm sick of these questions, don't give anything. I mean, do you think they would ever option for that, one of those?
I don't think so. That's not really Android's ethos. I don't have any reason for that. You know, I can't give you a well-reasoned defense for that. My gut says, no, I don't think that's something they would do. My gut is huge. When it speaks, people from China hear.
It's kind of like pop-ups, you know, people don't want these notifications popping up on the top, you know, all the time, but they didn't take that away. So These will just be more pop-ups from the bottom saying, hey, you want your app to do this? And then you got a boxer coming down from the top. Hey, door said something, but now you can't see your search bar. It's going to be, it's gonna be Windows Vista all over again.
Overall, the Marshmallow updates just really are, they're iterations. I'm actually sitting here trying to think of the cool new things. The pull-down settings, there's a couple of new things there, but I mean, over, it's just, and I think that's a good thing. That's not a slam on it. That's where you want to be, where you're just fixing little things and you're iterating instead of totally replacing the entire UI, going from, holo to material.
Mm-hmm.
And the battery, I will say, is better because of the Doze feature, as long as I'm not using it. It's great, but as soon as I use it, it goes back to being terrible again because of that screen. But yeah, I am definitely seeing increased battery life thanks to the Doze feature on Marshmallow.
And so you still have the tap to wake up on that? Is that the phone that had that? Even with Doze?
Does it tap to wake? If it does, I didn't know it did.
Oh, maybe it doesn't. Okay.
I think LG does that.
All right.
I don't think Moto does.
All right.
All right. Where are we? I lost track. I think we're up to door now.
What Moto did was wave your hand.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I turned that off immediately because I like the stock Android notifications better.
Right. I'm happy it got an update because there was a question whether or not that phone was going to get an update. So it was one of those things. I'm happy you're getting an update for security reasons alone, but they shouldn't break their stuff. And just a quick 30-second diatribe. And when I say because of the security feature, that's really pointless. That's like saying I like mac and cheese because of cheese. The actual security benefit is theater. Okay. I still, as much screaming, as much ridiculous threats, as much as, the sky is falling for stage fright, there's still not one recorded documented case in the United States that I've seen on any website of anyone being affected by stage fright. So the fact that you're getting security updates, it's one of those niceties.
Right. There's a lot of phones out there still running Gingerbread, and they're still running it. The world hasn't died.
Well, yeah, and they're not going to be targeted for anything until they figure out how to put ransomware on them and make money off of it. Yeah, then they'll do it. But until then, they're not going to do it. Okay, here's my app. I literally just installed it on my GPD handheld device because I want to see if I can get this thing working right. It's called Racing 3D. Asphalt Real Tracks, completely free by Thunderbolt Entertainment. E for Everyone does have some sort of in-app purchases. It's a free app because they don't have real cars. That's how they're able to save money, I'm going to guess, in their startup cost. But the tracks are supposedly real. Whatever. I don't know. As long as it's fun, that's all I care about. I like the general look and feel of this game. That's what I'm going off of. And if I can get this working on my GPD, I'm going to play it. Because I will say, it does seem like the easiest games to get right on a portable handheld gaming machine is platformers and racers. So that's the two kinds of games it seems like I gravitate towards the most on this device. And I don't have, 30 hours a week to divulge into a RPG game. So this is what I've been playing. These kind of games.
What frustrates me about this, not the app, I haven't seen the app yet, but the video doesn't show anything about the game. That really bothers me when they do that in the Play Store.
It shows the kind of cars you might be driving.
Well, it's not, to me, it isn't the Play Store. It's a problem with companies. Okay, this is just like SEO, Mark, okay? You have a company trying to do something right. They don't know better. They go hire some SEO professional that just screws everything up and does everything sleazy because that's what they do. I'm an app maker. I go make an app. Then I go hire some marketing firm. And the marketing firm says, this is what needs to be in your video. And then when the video's done, it's put up, somebody on your team will turn to you and say, did you realize there's no gameplay in that video? And they didn't even realize.
Lots of lens flares, but no gameplay.
The marketing team also told them to use the word asphalt in their title because there's a whole Game Loft series of asphalt racing games.
Yeah, everywhere. The only plus I'll say to the video is aspects of the video do look like they were rendered using the same engine as the game, but not exactly gameplay footage. But it still could be fun, maybe.
It still looks nice.
Yeah, and has a great attitude too, Eric. Why don't you just say
it's really
that
sweet. Great personality.
It's really sweet.
Great personality.
Yeah.
Well, it does. It says most wanted cup from Racing World could be yours to accelerate and compete in real racing experience.
That's a problem. As soon as I loaded it up, it started playing music.
Experience the taste of racing emotions. So it's got a great attitude.
Well, I mute all game, everything, every time, everywhere. Right.
But I didn't have a chance to. See, as soon as I just downloaded it while you're talking about it. I hit launch, and immediately it starts playing music. Don't do that. Just don't.
Start your career.
Or like start it really soft, maybe.
Because now people know that I'm playing the game during the podcast.
I hate that if I'm laying in bed just checking out apps, and then all of a sudden, my wife's like, moves over a little bit and kind of I woke her up again just by some shocking sound all of a sudden. It's just weird. Start your career in real racing on asphalt tracks. Because you can't start on concrete tracks.
You pointed at me.
That would not...
No, because there's another game called Real Racing. So that's probably how I found this, was their use of the word asphalt pushed them up the rankings a little bit kind of thing. And the real racing, real tracks. You enlighten me, Eric. I'm pretty sure you're exactly right. That's the only reason why I stumbled across this.
Have you played it before, Dor, this game?
I literally loaded it tonight, and because I was at the Holiday
Inn
music chorus thing for my kid's school, I know if my wife turned and saw this thing open on my lap, she would knock. Oh, yeah. She would literally, I'm pretty sure, punch
or
me.
Or if
my
it would start playing music during the presentation, that would not be good either.
I'm playing it right now. Just, you know,
what do you think?
It's not awesome. I really hate it when designers make this choice. They chose to make it a pretty game that doesn't play well instead of an ugly game that plays great.
Mm. Yeah, gameplay to me is the most important aspect of anything.
I mean, when you rub against the wall, there's sparks and there's particles and all that sort of stuff, but the steering is wonky and it's just, I mean, this is like 27 seconds of me reviewing it, but just my first impression is, meh. And I love racing games. I played the heck out of that last one, Horizon Chase, that Eric brought.
What's the steering mechanic?
But this one,
I brought that. It was you. I brought that one. What's the steering mechanic?
You tilt the phone.
Well, then I'm uninstalling it because I need to have on-screen control. Right.
You tilt the phone to steer. There's no accelerator. It just always goes. There's a turbo boost, and you tap the screen anywhere to stop.
I know. See, this to me is like the dummying down of game. By always having the gas pedal on, that's like having Galaga back in the day that wouldn't stop shooting. That's to help the people that really couldn't.
It's like taking the stick shift out of the arcade game for a driving game because nobody knew how to use a stick shift.
I'm getting rid of this game.
So this just went from being a recommendation to a crap app in the span of 2 minutes.
I can't wait. You have to install my next app, Mark, during my review.
Like right now, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, I like this. So we can give our opinion, and then Mark can be the decider. Door's the door, I'm the manager, and Mark the decider. Cockerel.
We can load Mark's phone full of kinds of crap.
Okay, my next app is Golfinity. Golfinity. G-O-L-F.
You mean like Xfinity? Is this by
Comcast?
Nope,
this is Golfinity by Nimblebit, LLC.
Installing.
And it is like a kind of a stylized, really super simplistic mini golf game.
Obsessively stylized.
And,
not sterilized.
And you don't really see yourself as a golfer. It almost reminds you of the old pool games where you just kind of pull back and let go. And, billiards games would be on a gaming system. You play it like that, and it's just.
I am really, 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 really liking the style choice the developer made.
Oh, ultra simple, no sounds. So bonus there.
Bonus, yes.
It did ask me to sign up with my Poi account, but didn't require it. That I can also consider a plus.
Have you ever had one require you to sign into Google Play?
Yes.
And I immediately uninstall.
Yeah, so basically, there's a little patch of mini golf land in the middle of a white field.
It's more like
a
pool game than a golf game.
Right. It is. It's a lot like pool, billiards would be on a.
Well, The way I would explain what I'm seeing, at least, is you are gigantic, let's say godlike, because the track seems small, the ball seems small, and the physics do seem like it's on a smaller scale. But the board is like floating in air. There is no background. Right. A very carefully chose color and contrast and gradient and shading to try to show depth. And yeah, I can picture this to me is almost like a pocket golf game. I can picture, you know, having something small in my pocket where I literally, like you're saying, pull back the lever and let go. And I see the little ball. Yeah,
that's exactly how you do it. Yep.
No way to zoom in or change your view at all. That's a negative.
You can flink them right off of the board, which kind of took me by surprise at first when the first time I did it. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I could do that.
If your ball is hiding behind an obstacle, you can't rotate to see it.
You see, my only immediate downside is it sounds like it's sponsored by Xfinity.
Yeah.
And that alone just...
That would be bad. I think they're going for Infinity and golf. But
okay, so I'm here at hole 5. And because I can't zoom out, I can't see the entirety of the hole. I can't line up my shot because I can only see the beginning of it. That's both interesting and annoying at the same time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that adds something. That's a feature, not a problem.
Would it help if I tell you to be the ball?
So my 45-second review is, it's fine.
Okay, good. You know what? If Mark says it's fine, I'll take that as a glaring positive.
Hell yeah. Much better than a crap app.
Well, I haven't uninstalled it yet, so there you go.
Yes.
I depend on you guys to bring me these casual games. I really do. Because I'm too lazy to actually search the store. Because if you type in games, you get the top 83,000 bro games that everybody's playing. I don't want those. So I count on Eric and Dore to do the curation. And that's the reason I'm the host of the show, so that I get early access to all that stuff. Because there's no other way to get early access to the apps, right? The only way you could do it is to actually be a host on the show.
True. Yeah. And you actually get it a week or a few days, maybe. Well, Patreon guys, they get it just minutes.
I was waiting for, I was trying to set Dore up there. I set him up waiting for him to spike it and he wasn't doing it.
I know. That's because I still haven't figured out the good way to give them early access to the apps. And they wouldn't have got this because this was an Eric app. But, the real reason why I say you can't just go into the thing and search for games, you'll get 80,000 clones of Clash of the Clans because there's some full busty woman with ads on television for it. So everyone's making copies and clones of that game.
Or a whole bunch of Tetris wannabes.
Yeah, or like that one I brought last week. That game, I'm kind of hooked on that game. The Tetralani, whatever. Where the Tetris spinning board thing, that thing. I suck at it. Like I kind of sucked at Tetris back in the day. But it's fun.
All right, let's do some tank emptying. Eric, you got anything else other than the mini golf?
No. You know, I had it timed out. We're good.
Nice.
Oh, wait, no. I took
Dor.
I'll save it for next week. I'm sorry.
You missed your opportunity.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Okay. First one I'm going to bring, it's called ITROR in the right order. ITROR in the right order. It's kind of like a
sign in the right order
says. Okay.
What's the R for?
OR for order.
Order. Yeah.
Because it's annoying, right?
In the right order.
I know. Well, let's just look past that one thing. This is, you even made me pause the video, okay? This is like a Simon Says, only it's not just one solid color, okay? It's a color and an item. So you start out, there's just one thing on the screen. For instance, a blue background and a three-colored popsicle. You tap that. Then it shows you two things. That first thing, and then it shows you something new. So you always start by tapping the oldest thing first, and then you move newer, and then until you get 3, and then 4. And then if you watch the video, until you get 20, until you get 30 things plus on the screen at once. And if you can get up to, 36 things on the screen at once, and you're still going, you are the man. Because this is, okay, I lie, okay? And I say, the reason I didn't do good in school is because I can't, listen, I'm not good at taking orders. I'm not good at, being, treated like a child. And I don't feel like I'm a typical child. When in fact, the part of the reason I really didn't do good in school is I have the memory of an acorn, okay? It's bad. It's really bad. And this game just exemplified that to a T. I literally had a hard time getting past like 6.
That was my guess, you know, too. I was going to say you made 6.
Yeah, like 4 was good for me. But, oh, man, I was not good at this. I was not good at this.
It's awesome.
At all. But it seemed fun.
I think it's a great idea for a game. It's simple like Simon. Now, how were you at Simon? Were you any good at that?
Hell no, yeah. I ain't good at Simon. Even on a game I love, Ocarina of Time, there was one part near the beginning. You had to go in a little tree stump. Skull Kids popped up, and they would play a song very slowly. There's only 6 notes, I believe, in Ocarina of Time, 6 notes, and they would play 3. You would play the 3, then they would play 4, the old 3 plus 1 more, and then 4 plus 1 more, and then 5 plus 1 more. And I had to literally write them down because I couldn't do it. I could not remember 6 notes for 10 seconds even. Just complete brain flake.
All right, so here's my review. Okay. After my 30-second review, good gameplay, like it, fun, but after a couple of times, it played an ad I couldn't skip with noise, with music playing, so uninstall. Sorry.
I didn't see
how much was this game? How much did you pay for that game?
That was in free.
Well, that's why it had
ads. No, I don't mind that there are ads, but if you give me an unskippable ad that's playing music, I'm done.
Yeah. Does the game itself have sound or not?
It didn't force the sound like something. So my phone is muted because I'm in a meeting mode, right? So it didn't force me to play music like some of them do. But
if your volume is down,
the ad did.
Wow.
The ad did not honor the sound settings,
hmm.
Which I've noticed some of them do.
Well, and like the very first review I see, it says only 2 problems. The adverts have a close button, but the app freezes when I press it. That's not a good start to a review, kind of. Oh, the ads, Mark, the ads.
You know, I'm not anti-ads. I'm not. I'm anti-bad ads. And my initial experience with this was a bad ad.
And I would say it's still a good game, but, man, like in the one screenshot, it shows like 3 biohazard symbols or toxic waste symbols on. They're the same symbol, but just with a different color background. When you get, it's a grid of 15 objects, that's got to be tough. I can see why you can only make it to 6 door. I don't think you're handicapped in any way. It looks like it'd be hard, quick.
Sure, whatever.
How far did you get, Mark, before you had your ad?
Like 5 things. It's hard. It's really difficult. Yeah,
looks like it.
Well, I'm gonna try really hard to make up for it, Mark. Okay. And this game, I'm 99% sure, comes from Tom Zach's deep, spacious, gaping hole filled with apps kind of thing. Because he always has apps he always shares. This one, I believe, is pronounced Paco Car Chase Simulator. Completely free, everyone 10 and up, by Tree Men Games. And it looks like there is no in-app purchases if I look at this right. So I'm going to hope, because of that, I'm going to be able to say no ads, okay? When I go look at this video also, it actually is showing gameplay footage. This is very similar to a game that Eric
brought. Similar to a game you brought, because you brought this game. This is from The Attic, episode 275. Yeah, I knew it right when I saw it. I'm like, yeah, Dor brought this.
See, I didn't remember the name, but I remembered this function of this game, because the game is basically you can't touch anything and nothing can touch you. And by nothing, I mean you can't hit if you're a bus, you can't hit a bush. You can't touch nothing. Anything touches you, insta death. And you're on basically a endless, nonstop run chase. You're basically running from the cops, quote unquote.
Big file. Taking a long time to download.
It's a really, 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 really nice game. And I'm glad you brought it back, because I had forgotten about it. Definitely worth everybody checking out this game. It's unique as far as it's a driving game, but it's very unique. There's no other ones. I've never played anything quite like this one.
I know the one you're talking about. I don't remember the name of it, where you do the same scenario each time and your track is still on there from the last time you played it. And so every time you go through the level, it gets harder. You know what I'm talking about?
Has like a ghost mode.
Right. So every time you do something stupid, that something stupid is replayed every other time you do it.
I mean, it sounds, I don't know what game you're talking about, but I know like Mario Kart even used to do ghost
mode. No, but it's not ghost mode. It's the it's like physical reactions. Like, so you're the blue car the first time. Eric brought it. I remember specifically. You're the blue car the first time through, and you got to get from here to there. The next time you're the red car, and your blue car is driving the path that you did it the first time. And then, now you're the green car, and the blue and the red cars are driving the paths that you made them do.
Right. I don't remember the game either, but yeah, that does sound familiar.
And it was maddening. It really was very difficult.
That does sound like a good idea to me, though.
So, yeah, so Dora like, was going to redeem himself with this app, but it was actually a repeat app. How's he doing, Mark?
Well, I can still redeem it.
It's still installed. 47 megs, big file. Still installing.
I'm taking that as a win. If it's not a negative, it's a win.
and Dora, I'll say this is a good app. It is a repeat, so I was a little let down there, but no, the app's worth. Should have been brought back sooner, I think, even than now.
Well, anything that Tom posts, I know, is one of those de facto. It's going to be a good thing.
Well, the one I left in my tank is a Tom Zach app too, but I'll save it for next week.
Gotcha.
I just installed today, but I haven't got too far with it yet.
It's just going to have to be a cliffhanger. We'll have to let you know next time what I thought of Paco Car Chase Simulator.
Because this is taking too long to install.
Still going. It's says it'll be. Now it's no longer saying seconds. It's just it's saying installing. It's like the in the 40 years we've had graphical user interfaces, we've still not figured out a progress bar.
Oh, we have. We just choose not to show it right because you know.
Yeah, it's installing 99.99.
Were they actually 99. Accurate though? Were the progress bars just for our giddiness and our
yeah, they've never been accurate. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I can tell you back when I first started coding stuff, I literally, the first time I had to show a progress bar, I literally spent 2 months looking at every possible example I could of progress bar mechanics, how you're figuring out the percentage kind of thing. And none of them could be absolute perfection on every computer. Because depending on computers, on this computer, the bottleneck was RAM. So if it's RAM, this process is going to take longer. If this bottleneck is hard drive, this process is going to take longer. If it's network speed, this process is going to be longer. If your video RAM was less, this process is going to take longer. And all I was doing was mass copying files. And the way I got around it was I literally had to set copy speed in Windows from the command line on this application to get even close to accurate percentage thing. So it's one of those black magic voodoo art things that if someone does do right, let me tell you something, they deserve free tickets to go see.
This is the accurate progress bar. It's got green bubbles coming up from my USB connector and they're bubbling up into the battery when my phone's powered off. So I know that's accurate because green power bubbles would never lie.
All right, playing the game now. It's hard, but it's cool. It's retro, early 3D style graphics, a very realistic physics engine. I like when there's a left and a right, and then as you change your orientation, so now they're coming at you. Left is now right, right is now left, and you have to figure that out. It doesn't oversimplify it for you.
Right, and I like the fact that it was fast, but not overly quick. Right.
I'm playing the holiday sled version of it.
Oh. Well, there's a Christmas version. So, yeah, so it's timely, Dor. Good time to bring it back.
I don't know. The only thing going through my head right now is
how do you road. What are you staying away from if you're in a sleigh?
Well, you're riding your sled in a parking lot of looks like a store. Like you got drunk and you're riding it and the police are chasing you around.
Oh, so still police. Okay. All right. I didn't know if there was like Grinches or something.
And okay. So this is a fine app.
Yes.
Not awesome, but it gets a fine.
I think it's the kind of thing I'm telling you now. My experience was if you put like 10 minutes into it, a solid 10 minutes into it, and if you pay attention, there is something you will notice every X minutes that just will give you that little belly chuckle. This is a smart game. I'll put it that way. That's what I remember about this game. You had to go look for stuff, basically. And once in a while, you would see something just a little comical.
Yeah, there's no speed boosts, no power-ups, or at least not so far. It's just racing or evading. It's not even racing. So, all right, here you go.
Yeah, these are the fines we want to get, Dor.
I understand, and I did load Golffinity on my GPD, and I'm really hoping.
Oh yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work with the joysticks.
Yeah, neither do I. Oh, this okay. is you can do well, this.
This is like PewDiePie, but way more boring because we don't get to see it. It's just listening to guys play apps. Good, I like it.
Exactly. Well, that makes us better, right?
A whole lot of All right, let me do that. Oh,
yeah. See, I can use my GPD for this. Cool. I think.
And for those who are just tuning in, his GPD is a Nintendo DS-like Android device. With a touchscreen and
handheld
goodness.
Yeah, the hard thing is getting up to speed. That's a long draw to get that ball to get fast. So yeah, I don't know. This is a gorgeous game. Okay, I got that. Great.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Let's wrap it up. Like a Christmas present. Let's wrap it up. Any other final words of wisdom?
I just want to thank everyone for the support throughout the year. Panasa.com/Amazon. For your Boxing Day? Isn't Boxing Day a thing overseas?
Canada. Day after Christmas.
Overseas, Canada. Maybe not a sea, but a border.
No, sure England. Yeah, they do it there too.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's primarily the UK.
In the 1800s, somewhere around there, it was traditional for that to be a reverse day where the staff were the masters of the house and the masters served the staff for a day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, then they figured. Wait a minute, their staff. Screw this.
the ridiculous amount of brain cells I've stored on useless stuff. I can't tell you anything useful, but if it's useless, I got you covered. Okay.
You want to know one of the most useless things I learned that I think is fascinating, Mark? Why we have two different words for some meats, like pork and pig, beef and like cow. I mean, we have two different words because when the French were rich, the French did not want to be associated with the dirty word pig. So they had the word pork for it. And then the servers who would serve them that had to learn their correct enunciation. And then when they came home, they would use the word pork in the place of pig when talking about the food substance. And it was like one of those things that just grew naturally to where now it's also an English word. I can't pronounce the French version of pork or beef, but you know what I mean.
Did they use the word Rocky Mountain oysters to describe something else?
I hope to God there's not many cultures on earth that know what that is. And I live right by the Appalachian Mountains. Unfortunately, I know what that is.
Also known as calf fries.
Really?
Yes.
You know, the only thing worse is if you go into Tennessee, there's still a place you can get fried deep brain sandwich.
Oh, yeah, brain sandwich. It's huge.
I'm sure it is. The brain.
Hugely popular.
There was a town right up the road from us that had a bar, and they would have every year the Turkey Testicle Festival, and it was a big thing.
Okay, we got to stop this show now.
It's now a McDonald's.
I don't know if that's better.
I like the alliteration of that one, though. That's good.
Oh, geez.
And the sign was proudly displayed, huge, on the main highway. Everybody who drove by found out.
Yeah. Mark would like it even better if they're tough. Or tender.
Yes.
Tender.
Tender turkey testicles. I like it. Ugh. Oh, I don't know. How do you wrap this up? Well, with some flour and some egg wash, apparently.
I apologize, people.
Okay. Dor, what are your closing words of wisdom?
If you pay us more money on Patreon,
we'll stop talking.
I can promise you less testicles.
More money. That's the opposite of a late night commercial right there. More money.
Yeah,
that would
probably get me to not donate personally. But
Eric, after the show, say that, not Dory.
Eric, do you have any final closing thoughts?
Oh, I hope everybody has a good Christmas and gets to spend some time with their family this year. And
so is this our last show before Christmas?
No. Not ours.
We'll be doing
it. Might be theirs, though. They might not get the download or something. Okay. And I hope you get everything you wanted for Christmas and hope you give everything that you wanted to give.
Well, I say thank you for letting me hang out with you. Again, please go and support these fine gentlemen on Patreon. That has really become the preferred way because it's direct, it's public, and it's supporting in the most traditional sense. So if you love Dore, if you even like him, if you don't hate Dore, go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw him a buck. Who can't afford a buck? You know, if you can't, if you just absolutely cannot afford a dollar, go make a cardboard sign and stand out on the highway for a little while, and somebody will throw a dollar at you, and you can give that dollar to Dore.
You can put dollars for Dore, please, on your sign.
I like it. I like it. That would be awesome. That's a good ad campaign right there.
And when the traffic light's red, make sure you spin the sign.
I saw a guy today, or yesterday it was, had one of the, around here in Atlanta, the sign spinning. It was never a thing back in Dallas, but here in Atlanta, the sign spinning is a thing. So I had have become sort of used to it. Yesterday I saw a guy spinning a sign on the back of it. It said repent, and on the front it said Jesus is coming. And I thought, that's kind of cool, but what do you do with that? Right? Are you going to stop and say, will you tell me about Jesus here on 575? It was an interesting statement, but I just don't know where you would go with it. That's neither here nor there. It was a new sign.
It's just a reminder.
Yeah. I guess so.
Sure.
All right. Thanks. I'm going to jump out before we go too far off. happy Hanukkah. This is, I think we're still in the season, or maybe it just ended. I'm a bad Jew, because I'm not a Jew. So I hope you enjoyed your dreidel, we'll see you, I'm being told right now, we'll see you next week on Android App Addict, so we'll see you later.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.